Okay, so now we're in lesson 9. This is page 121. And last week I explained the grammatical points, so we come to the preliminary readings. Okay. Passage 1. Ekang samayang bhagava bhoganagare viharati ananda chetye. Okay, this the meaning of this should be obvious already. Anybody want to translate it? Wenjun? Yeah. Blessed one. Yeah. Bhogana. Bhoganagare. Yeah, the city of Bhoga. But Ananda Chaitya wouldn't be a monastery. Chaitya at this time, in this period, would have been a shrine, a kind of memorial shrine, or a shrine constructed to, as a kind of homage, a way of paying homage to a deity, sometimes a powerful deity or spirit. Okay, so Tatrako Bhagava Bhikkhu Amantesi Bhikkhavoti. Okay, there the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhus, saying, Bhikkhavo, bhikkhus. And then the bhikkhus, Padante ti te bhikkhu bhagavato pachasosam. Okay, here we meet this form, this word pachasosam, which I mentioned last week. Now this is, you know what form this is? Form of the verb? It's what? It's the past, yeah. Past, a specific type of past called the aorist. And this belongs to the same type that's discussed on page 125 in the grammar section. It's an aorist or past tense of the S type, or it's also called the associ type. And you see the declension of it on page 126. And so what particular form of this past tense is this? By way of person and number. It's third person plural. And in fact, this verb itself, really the stem of it is the same as the verb sunati, which means to hear. And I explained last week, but just to review. Okay, we start off. The present, in the indicative of the verb would be patisunati, which I don't think we find it. We don't meet it very often, occasionally. Oh yeah, patisutva, having replied. We meet the gerund fairly often. But to form the past tense, you have to put in the augment, the A. When you put in the A, the S doubles. So you have pati, and the third person plural, so pati plus asosum. But what happens in Pali, when an I prefix meets an A, they don't get along well. So the I turns first into a Y, pati plus A. So when you have a T and a Y, again they don't get along well. So they transform into a double C, pacha so sum. So in that way we get the third person plural past tense of pati sunati. Okay, so now the Buddha goes on to say, Bhagava etadavocha, the Blessed One said this, Chitaro me bhikkave mahapadese desi sami, tang sunata sadukang manasi karota basi samiti. Okay, this is a passage from, it comes in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the story of the Buddha's passing away. And it also comes as a separate sutta in the Anguttara Nikaya. Okay, key word here is Maha Padesa, which is a combination of Maha, great, plus Upadesa. And the meaning of Upadesa, it's a little bit uncertain. I think the glossary here gives reason, cause, argument, statement. They don't quite fit the context. You might say four great references. I've seen it, that translation. Four great sources, perhaps. Standard, I think that's a misleading translation. Because the standards, you see, there are four Mahapadesas, but the standards that are being used are Dhamma and Vinaya. So there's really two standards, but you see four sources from which reports about what the Buddha has said might come. So I would take it somewhat either a standard or a reference. The way the word is derived, desa can mean place, and upa has a sense of off, away. Yeah. It's great standards. Yeah. I'm not so sure that standards works. Okay, then the verb that we have here, desa sami. You remember last week we looked at the future tense. That's on page 127. But the book gives the paradigm of the future for those verbs that form the future with ISS. But the verbs of the tenth type, the tenth group, which have their form their stem with E, with those verbs you add the future endings to the E. So we have deseti. That's present indicative. And so to form the future, they say, he will teach. And here it's first person, they say, sami, will teach. Okay, so the Buddha says, I will teach you, O monks, and the me, chataro me, what is the me, that me here? What is it? Right, it's ime, these. But because of sandhi, the coming together of O and I, the I is a weaker vowel, so it drops off. So I will teach you, O monks, these four great references, maybe. Tang sunata, what kind of verb is sunata and manasi karota? What particular type of verb? Mood of the verb? Tone? No. Sunata, tang sunata. Sadukang manusi karota. It's second person, but what particular form? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth line, fourth and fifth line. I think we had these some time ago. Past participle, sunata? Yeah. Even if you try to make sense out of a sentence. But, right, it's the imperative. But it's exactly the same as the second person present. The second person plural imperative and the second person plural indicative are the same. It's the same word, but the meaning is different. the meaning you can determine from the context. So the Buddha says here, listen to that, or hear that, and you could say pay careful attention, or attend to it well. Sadhukang manasikarota means attend to it well. Would be the Chinese, but that would be what? Fai yi? Fai yi. Would that be the Chinese for manasikaroti? It has that meaning, does it? Fai yi? Okay, Eva. Okay, so the monks say, Evang bante, ti kote, bhikkhu bhagavato pachasosam. Okay, the meaning here, it's quite obvious. Okay, so Bhagava etadavocha, the Blessed One said this. Kattame bhikkhave chataro maha padesa, which means, what, O monks, are the four great references? Ita bhikkhave bhikkhu evang vadeya. Okay, here, O monks, a monk might speak thus. And vadeya is what case? What form of the verb? That's the optative. You see the distinctive optative ending, aya. Sammukha metang avuso bhagavato sutang sammukha patigahitang. Okay, so here the Buddha is quoting what a monk might say. Okay, the word sammukha comes from, the stem of this is mukha, which means face. And when it gets the prefix sam, it gives a special idiomatic meaning of face to face or in the presence of. And this always comes, what case is this? Sammukha. It's originally an ablative form, but it's used idiomatically in this special expression. That's a good way to put it. Like an adverb. It takes on that special meaning. In the presence of, face to face. Qian yan. Okay, so. Face, okay. And then the metang here is what originally? Right, me plus etang. One E drops out. Then to continue the sentence, you have to jump over to the sutang, which is what form? What form of the verb? No. It's a past participle. Yeah. And it's being used like a noun. It's a nominative. Let's see. It's a neuter nominative. And so, may here has the sense, an instrumental sense, by me. So, in the presence of the Blessed One, friends, here the monk is addressing other monks, he calls them friends, this has been heard by me. Sammukha patigahitang. Patigahitang means literally accepted or received. But it can take on a wider meaning of being learned. This has been learned by me. In his presence, this has been learned by me. Ayang dhammo, ayang vinayo, idang satu sasananti. Okay, now, with that statement, the monk is reporting a particular statement that he says that he heard from the Buddha, learned from the Buddha, and now the monk is claiming this is the doctrine, this is the vinaya, the discipline or training. This is sattu sasana. Here, sattu is that noun that we examined last week. It's page 124. We have the paradigm declension of it. And so, sattu is the genitive case, and it's joined with sasana to make a compound. Sattu means teacher or master. Teacher as the founder of the religion. Jiaoju, I think. And sasana is the message or teaching. And this is an interesting compound, because usually when we have a compound, the first part is not declined, but it's put in the stem form. But in this particular compound, this belongs to a class of compounds of which there are not many examples. The first part is already declined. So we have the genitive is the first part of the compound. And then to the genitive, we join the main part, sasana, which means teaching. So this is the teaching of the master. So here, one monk is coming and he's presenting something which he says that he learned directly from the Buddha. And now he's saying that his statement is the true doctrine, the true discipline, the actual message or teaching of the Buddha. Okay, now the Buddha continues by giving advice to the monks. He says, Tassa bhikkave bhikkhuno bhasitang neva abhinanditabbam napoti napati kositabbam. Okay, tassa bhikkhuno is what case? Sukhi? Yeah. No, not accusative. Tassa bhikkhuno. You have to take it all together. Tassa bhikkhuno bhasitam. Big hint. Wenjun. Right, it's the genitive. Okay. Tassa bhikkhuno is of that monk, bhasitam. This is originally a past participle which becomes turned into a noun, meaning statement. Okay, the statement of that monk, neva abhinanditabbam. Okay, now I think I've explained this earlier. When you have in Pali two negations, we say neither nor. In Pali, the first negation you have na plus eva, becomes neva. Then the second one is simply retained as na. Okay, then abhinanditabbam. And pati kosi tabbang, what forms of speech are these? Right, they're future passive participles, or called more simply gerunda, gerunda. That has the sense of what ought to be done, what should have been done, what should be done. Okay, so the statement of that bhikkhu should neither be delighted in, that is, means welcomed, approved of, napati kositabang, which means it should not be rejected. You see how the Buddha is advocating here what you might call a very cautious and careful approach not to let oneself be swayed by immediate inclinations, immediate judgments, but step back and investigate. Okay, so anabhinandita apatikosita. Here we have what form? Gerund. Okay, without having approved of it, without having rejected it, tani padabhyanjanani sadukang ukahetva sute otare tabani vinaye sandase tabani. Okay, so without having approved of it, without having rejected it, ukahetva, sadukang ugahetva. Ugahetva means literally, kahetva is to take, ugahetva, to take up. But it acquires the extended meaning of having learned, having taken into the mind, taken up into the mind. So having learned well those pada, pada is word, Vyanjana means phrase or expression. So having learned those words and expressions well, sukte otari tabani vinaye sandesi tabani. Here, a precise rendering, it's a little bit difficult, I have to say. Okay, otare tabani. Oh, first of all, both of these forms, otare tabani, sandesi tabani, what forms are these? Suki? There is no mana here. Running around too much, here and there, caught you. Too much running. Wenjin? Okay. Yeah, well, simply gerund. These are things that should be done. Okay, so now, otareti, the verb otareti means literally to bring down, to put down into. We have avatarati would mean to cross, to go down into. You know the Hindu idea, avatara, that's an incarnation of a god. Like they say, Krishna is an avatar or Vishnu. That is, the god comes down into the world. It's like a descent of the god. So avatarati is to go down, or going down. Now in Pali, ava often turns into o. And now tarati now becomes the causative form. Otarati. To put down into. To incorporate into. Not to put down, not like putting this down on the table, but to put something into something else. But anyway, this is the way it's derived. So then from this otareti, one forms this gerunda. Excuse me? Maybe you put the soap down into the water. Or maybe you should.
Does it mean that? So, avatarati is the active voice?
Yeah.
So, it would be somebody voluntarily going down.
Going down there, descending, yeah.
say, descending into the water, otaratiya. Yeah, in fact, that's the way otaratiya would be used, would be when somebody descends into the water, if they're going to cross the stream, otaratiya, then I guess if somebody puts something down into the water, it would be otaratiya. Maybe if there's a heavy object which has to be put maybe onto a barge to carry it across the water from, say, Otareite.
So then from this you get Otareitapa. So the sense in regard to, with regard to this passage, you know, it's not crystal clear even to my mind, but the sense seems to be one takes the words that this a monk has come reporting, saying, I've heard this from the Buddha, this is the word of the Buddha. So now, I think the sense is that one takes the statement and one sort of tries, maybe this is the sense, one tries to track it down within the sutta, within the texts that have been already authorized as discourses of the Buddha. Otareitapana. That's what I would, I'm guessing, I'm trying to form a meaning which works here.
What does it mean by putting a sutta
there? The sutta, this would be, first it's a locative singular, and it would seem to imply the passage that there are certain texts which have already been authorized as discourses of the Buddha. Sutta is sutra, you know. Oh, you didn't, I'm sorry.
I thought
it was good. No. I thought we would have. Oh, I see. This is the first time we're having it. 124, yeah. On page 124. Sanskrit Sutra.
Right. Okay,
so it's a singular which seems to do the duty of representing a body of literature. Of texts which apparently have already been authorized and accepted as word as the discourses of the Buddha. So the sense seems to be that one takes this passage that the monk is reporting and checks through the suttas to see whether it can be found there or whether it's in agreement with the suttas. Then vinaye sandesi tapani. Okay, now we have sandesati. Sato sandesati. See, the basic noun here, dasati, means to show. Then sandesati, usually it means in the suttas, to instruct or to demonstrate Dhamma, to expound the teaching. Sun just gives a sort of strengthening effect to dasaiti, is to show, reveal, expose. And then when formed, the gerundive, dasaiti, sun dasaiti tabba. So the sense should be one should demonstrate it, could be the sense one could demonstrate it as being found in the Vinaya, or as that's the book of discipline, or the code of discipline, or one could demonstrate it as being in conformity with the discipline.
What is the subject of the surrender?
The subject is Pada Vyanjanani. Because Vyanjanani is masculine, I'm sorry, it's neuter plural. And Otareitabani, Sandasaitabani, also neuter plural. Yeah. Yeah.
Text in Sutta of
or trace down. One should at least one should try to track them down.
Having learned well.
Yeah. Well, actually, the implicit subject is you, in other words, the monks. You, and then Byanjanani is, Pada Byanjanani is the object. But it's a passive sentence, so Pada Byanjanani actually functions as the subject. By you, having learned well, having thoroughly learned the words, those words and phrases, they should be tracked down in the suttas and demonstrated in the Vinaya, or maybe even looked for in the Vinaya. Let's go to the next sentence, might shed some more light on the meaning here. Okay, tani che sute otariyamanani vinaye sandasya manani na ceva sute otaranti na vinaye sandisanti nitam eta gantabang gantabang nitam eta gantabang. Okay, those tani, this refers back to the words and phrases pada byanjanani. Okay, if those, when being tracked in the suttas, tracked down in the suttas, and being, maybe you could say, looked for in the discipline, being sought after in the discipline, and otariya manani, sandasya manani, what part of speech is this now? Actually a rather complex type of word. Exactly. Very good. Yeah, it's present participle because you see the mana. I think that's what Suki was referring to before. But you were looking, you were too far ahead of us. It's the manani that indicates it's present participle. And the iya indicates passive. So otariya manani, sandasya manani. Okay. So when those, in brackets, words and phrases are being tracked or traced in the suttas and being looked for or demonstrated in the Vinaya, okay, na ceva sute otaranti, na vinaye sandisanti. Okay, if they are not here, rather literally, if they are not entered in the suttas, in other words, if they are not included in the suttas, and not seen sandisanti, not seen or not found in the discipline, nitameta gantabham. What is nitameta? First explain nitameta. Suki? Oh. Okay, I got tripped. I tripped myself up. Somebody told me the other day that they were looking for a long, long time, they were looking up metta in the dictionary, but couldn't find it. Okay, so nitta metta means, nitam is conclusion, and eta is literally here, but here the meaning is about this, and gantabang is maybe gone to, or you would say maybe reached. So the conclusion might be reached about this. Let's put, okay, Okay, first I'll translate the rest. Then we'll take the whole sentence. Adda idang na adda idang na eva tassa bhagavato vachanang arahato samma sambuddhassa iti hetang bhikkave chadeyata. Okay, the conclusion might be reached about this. Adda. Adda means surely, certainly. Idang, this. Na eva. It's just the emphatic no. Surely this is not vachanang, the word tasa bhagavato, of that blessed one. Then arahato, the worthy one, sama sambuddhasa, of the fully enlightened one. And then this is quite common in Pali. Okay, you have a string of three words to describe the Buddha said in the genitive. Now, you wouldn't say in Pali tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa vachanang. But the noun, which is the possessed object, would follow the first descriptive word, bhagavato. Then the other epithets of the Buddha will follow that noun. So that's why we have bhagavato vachanang, then arahato sammasambuddhassa are added after it. Then iti is thus. Hetang. What is hetang? Right. He is just emphatic. And hetang is this. Chadeyata. Chadeyata means should be rejected or discarded. Thus, this, thus indeed, O monks, this should be discarded. Okay, so putting it all together. Okay. When those words and phrases are being, we say, checked out in the suttas and being looked for or investigated in the Vinaya, in the discipline, if they are not included in the suttas and are not seen in the discipline, then the conclusion might be reached about them, about this. Surely this is not the word of that blessed one, the worthy one, the perfectly enlightened one. Thus, O monks, this should be discarded. Okay, but that now comes the counter case. Ida pana bhikkave bhikkhu evaṃ vadeya. Any questions about the first paragraph here? Question? Yeah. Might be a reach. It's a future passive. Or should be reached.
What is the difference between future passive participle and optative?
Okay, it might have been stated if the optative were used. You see, the future passive participle could also be called an optative participle. It's a participle based upon the optative mood. So if you were using a direct optative, then the text would say tumhe. Tumhe is plural, second person. Tumhe nitam eta. Tumhe eta nitam kacheyung. Kacheyung, that would be the third person plural optative. you should come to the conclusion about this. Yeah. But for some reason, Pali, also Sanskrit, they have this predilection for using passive construction. Yeah. Okay, so any further questions? Pada has many, many words. Pada has many, many meanings. One meaning is word, footstep, state of anything is also called pada. So one just has to take it in context. But when you have it joined with Byanjanani, and particularly now it's referring to a statement that somebody makes, so then it has to mean word. Yeah, well, you're good. But Byanjana can also mean the characteristics of things, like they speak of Iti Byanjana, the marks, distinctive marks of a woman, Purisa Byanjana, distinctive marks of a man. Byanjana also can mean Panitani, Supa Byanjanani, delicious, Supa are like curries, and Byanjana are other dishes, prepared dishes.
Yeah, I saw curry
also,
yeah.
Yeah, we have it. This is a common expression. If the monk comes with a plate with rice and different dishes on the side, then you would say, not Pada Byanjanani, but Bhatta Byanjanani, rice, or Odina Byanjanani, rice and dishes, side dishes.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Do you think that Bhagavad Gita is the most important book of Buddhism?
Yeah.
My question is about the Abhisattva.
Yeah.
Abhusso
is evocative. It's exclusively evocative form. You mean because it ends with an O, so you think it's a nominative? No, it's just... No, I mean, no, most vocatives do, or most masculine singular vocatives do. But this is a word that sort of evolved with special usage. I think it comes originally from ayasma, which means venerable one. Then it was somehow it became the vocative corresponding to ayasma. The Y got somehow changed through ordinary usage into a V. And then the ma gave way to an o. Okay, so the next paragraph actually should be easy to do. Ida pana bhikkave bhikkhu evang videya. Okay, here again, but here, O monks, a monk might speak thus. Samukha metang avaso bhagavato sutang samukha pati gahitang. Ayang dhammo, ayang vinayo, idang satu sa sanang ti. Okay, everything there is the same as previously. Tasa bhikkave bhikkhuno basitang neva abhinandi tabbang napati kosi tabbang. Again, the same as above. An abhinandi pa appati kosi pa tani padabhyanjanani sadukang ugahit va. Sute otare tabbani, vinaye sandase tabbani. Again, this is this part, the same sentence as we had in the first paragraph. Tani che sute otare manani, vinaye sandase the manani, sute ceva otaranti, vinaye ca sandhi santi, nitameta gantavam. Okay, this is as above, except now it's positive. When those words and phrases are being checked out against the suttas, or checked out in the suttas, are being looked for or investigated in relation to the Vinaya, if otarante sutte, if they are included in the suttas, vinaye ca sandhi santi, and they are seen, found in the discipline, nitameta gantavam, the conclusion might be reached about this. Adda idang tassa bhagavato vachanam arahato sammasambuddhassa so the conclusion might be reached, surely this is the word of that blessed one, the worthy one, the perfectly enlightened one. Idang bhikkave pattamang mahapadesang dharayata. Dharayata means dharati, to retain in mind, to remember, to preserve. Okay, so, O monks, you should remember this. You should remember this first great reference or source. So that's, see, the other three source, the other three upadesa, maha upadesa. The next comes from the monk, hasn't heard it from the Buddha himself, but he's heard it from a sangha. That's a community of monks. The third, he hasn't heard it from the Buddha or from a sangha, but he's heard it from a few monks, two or three monks. And then the fourth, he hasn't heard it even from a few monks, but he's heard it from one other monk. So for this reason, source or reference seems to work better than standards, since the standard seems to be the sutta and the vinaya. Okay, any questions? Dharayata. The verb is actually, the simple form is dharati, E-T-I, which means to retain in mind, to remember. Yeah. Dharati is to bear, to carry. Okay, then we'll go to passage 2. Aham ko bhikkave ekasana bhojanam bhunjami. Okay, so the Buddha says, I, O monks, eat. Now, ekasana bhojanam. It could have been interpreted to mean eka plus asana, which would be one seat bhojana. I eat a meal in one seat. Wait, don't write that down. That's the way some might interpret it. But I think, you see, there's another word, asana, with a short A, which means food, and bhojana also means food. So I think the correct way to understand it is just one food meal, could say. I eat one meal. Okay, it's just two synonymous nouns used together. I eat one food, one meal a day. In other words, that's the sense. Yeah. I think that's the way this is translated. But I believe I've seen it in the commentary. The commentary divides this eka plus asana. Yeah. But the actual literal meaning is asana, food, rather than asana with a long A. That's why in this textbook they use the circumflex, which means two short A's coming together. So it's eka plus asana plus bhojana. So I'm putting that in to fit the sense, to give the sense. That seems to be, of course, that's the intended meaning. Otherwise, it would mean that he eats one meal and that's it, doesn't eat anymore. Okay, so, oh monks, I eat one meal, in brackets, per day. Ekasana bhojanam ko ahang bhikkave bunjamano appabhadatam cha sanjanami appatankatam cha lahutanam cha balam cha paso viharam cha. Okay, the first part. Ekasana bhojanam ko ahang bhikkave bunjamano. Bunjamano is what part of speech? Suki? Yeah, what part? No, you got it. You got the principle right before. Now you can get a star on your report card. You just have to repeat the same thing. No, you didn't say passive before. I don't think you did. No. I'm getting tired of calling on Wenjun and Yurang. Chi Lao She? Wei Chong? Okay, who tell us what part of the speech this is? Okay, present participle. Okay, so eating one meal per day, O monks, appabhadatam cha sanjanami. Okay, appabhadatam. Okay, abhada. Abhada means thing. Illness, yeah, or affliction, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't calling out bingo. Bingla. Okay, so upper means little, and ta at the end would originally, in the nominative, would be the long A, ta. That makes it abstract noun. Yeah. So it's appa. Which means few or little. Abhada. Illness. Plus ta, but actually, yeah, ta is just the abstract, which has a sense of myth.
Still
yeah, Maybe if you use affliction, then you say little afflictedness. Or sick, okay. No, with sickness, you get the same problem. Up about, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the actual meaning is hell, but the way stating it in Pali, it's literally, it's little illness, few ailments, let's say. But then, this is a little odd for us. Instead of saying, I enjoy good health, or I experience good health, one says, I perceive little illness. Okay, so I perceive, but we have to understand perceive here in the sense of experience. I experience little illness. Apatankatang. It's pretty much the same meaning. Atanka means, again, like affliction. Okay, so we say, in English we only have the one word, hell. I experience little illness, little sickness. Lahutanang. Lahu means light. Tana means state or condition. So I experience lightness. Tana. Yeah, tana is one of those words which again has many meanings. But as a foundation, see, we get a prefix, maybe patita could be, or aditana even could be foundation. But the tana is the base which gets a prefix to give a more specialized meaning. Okay, balan. Balang means strength. And pasu vihara means, pasu is comfort, vihara, dwelling. So dwelling in comfort, dwelling at ease. Okay, now, okay, then the second part. Eta tumhe pi bhikkave ekasana bhojanang bunjata. Okay, the word eta means what? Come. And tumhe is you. Okay, so come. You too, O monks. Bunjata is what part of, what kind, form of the verb? Yeah. Remember, just before we encountered the imperative, say, it looks the same, second person, plural, imperative, looks exactly the same as the indicative. But from the context, you could tell when it's imperative. So come, you too, O monks, eat one meal per day. A kasana bhojanam ko bhikkave tumhe pi bunjamana. Bunjamana is what part of speech? Suki. What part of speech? You had it before. That's what it is, yeah.
My foundation in that area,
yeah.
I have to really make sure that I know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But if this is the present participle and the other was the present participle, why did the one above end in O, bunjamano, and this one has bunjamana? Okay. I only have two choices. Yurang? Right. Right. And Bunjamano was... No, no. Why does it end with the O?
Oh, because
yeah, it's singular. The Buddha is referring to himself. Now he's giving an injunction to the monks, so it's plural. Okay, so you eat one meal per day, and you too. Then you too, eating one meal a day, apabhadatancha sanjani satta, apatankatancha lahutanancha balancha paso viharanchati. And you will perceive, or in other words, you will experience little illness, little affliction, lightness, state of lightness, strength, and a comfortable dwelling, a dwelling at ease. Any questions about this? Okay, maybe we could get in. Maybe we'll try a couple of verses. Just two verses. They're not difficult. Papan, this is number three now. Papanche puri so kaira natang kaira punapunang natam hi chandang kairata dukho papasa uchayo. I think was it in this lesson that they explained kaira? Yeah, on page 128, section 7, kaira and kairata, these are optatives of karoti. Kusuntai. The way they get to be optatives, see, the original optative of karoti would be kareya. But because Pali would have been based on spoken dialects, and the spoken dialect letters get jumbled around according to what's convenient to speak. So somehow in the simplification in speech, but a transposition of letters took place, so that the Y, which is here, the distinctive Y of optative, somehow, you know, like the cards were shuffled around and the Y got here. Then the R, which is part of the stem, got pushed back to here. And then it got lengthened. Yeah, karoti is the ordinary, the indicative present form. Karoti. One does, one makes. This is kareya is optative, one should do, one should make. But then kareya would be used in prose, but in verse with kaira or kairata, I think the t comes in from the middle voice. And these are two forms are used mainly, maybe exclusively, I'm not sure, but mainly in verse. Okay, so coming back to the verse here, if a person should do evil, papa, natang kaira punapunam, he should not do that again and again. Natam hi chandam kairata. Chanda means desire or will. And tamhi, what case is tamhi? Don't say it's the belly. It's not the belly, not tummy. Tumhi. it's locative. In English, we would say, we would use a data form for that. But Pali, the desire in relation to that, with respect to that. So he should not form a desire for that, or form a desire in regard to that. Dukkho papasa uccayo. Here, uccayo means accumulation, and it's the accumulation of papa, of evil. And so the accumulation of evil is dukkho. Here, dukkha is used as an adjective, and it has to agree with uccayo. So it's nominative, masculine. Painful is the accumulation of evil. So putting it all together, if a person should do evil, he should not do that again and again. He should not form a desire in regard to that. Painful is the accumulation of evil. Then the next verse is just the opposite. Punyan che puriso kaira, kairat etang punapunang, tamhi chandang kairata suko punyasa uchayo. If a person should do merit, a meritorious deed, he should do this again and again. He should form a desire for this, in regard to this. Sukho punyasa uccayo. Here sukha is an adjective agreeing with uccayo. So pleasant is the accumulation of merit. You could use will if you like. It's just a matter of preference. Intention, you could use desire, intention, will. But chanda seems to work quite well. Okay, any questions on this? Yeah, also, I think Nyanamoli had used zest. But you speak about a zest for living. Yeah. And I hear zest. I think of like adolescent, young teenagers on the beach running for a bottle of Coke or Pepsi. Okay, any questions?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 It's an adjective.
So why don't we say the accumulation of evil is painful?
You can say that, yeah. But I just translated to follow the word order of the Pali. So I said painful is the accumulation of evil. Any additional questions? Okay, then we finish. Next time, I'll finish the verses, and then you have to take the initiative and translate the further readings.